The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
herb. Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and toquettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, September 21st, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for our show. We've got a great one ready for you today. All sorts of fun things happening here in the studio, and not the least of which is the absence of the pirate Ganja John. Unfortunately, can't be in the studio today, but we'll switch on to the cams there, and you'll see that Wiz Calico is hanging out there in the Pirate's Cove. How you doing, Wiz Calico?
Pretty good, man. I'm glad to be here.
All right. We've got all sorts of great news breaking here. Oops, wrong cam. There you go. Host engineer. There we go. So we're having all sorts of fun. We will get news to you here. Wiz Calico is going to bring you the news today. Cannabis Carry is off today. So Calico, what do we got for news stories today?
Well, it looks like the RAND Corporation put out a new study about crime near L.A. dispensaries. So we're going to cover that, as well as presidential hopeful Gary Johnson is going to be featured in the Fox News debate tomorrow. And South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley is trying to drug test unemployment or people seeking unemployment. And Ohio medical marijuana has hit another snag, so we're going to be covering those stories.
All right, all that. And I've got my own story here on Mayor Bloomberg in New York City and a new initiative he's trying to spearhead there that is just trying to whitewash his legacy as the greatest jailer of black and Latino men in New York City over the past decade. So we'll get to all that right after this first break. Also, at 20 after, we're going to go down to Northern California and speak with NorCal Perps. Kyle's got a great tune for us here for our Irie Wednesday, coming up from Catch a Fire at 20 after. At half past, it is Wednesday, and that means it's time to speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He'll be taking your live questions through chat and through our Skype line. If you want to ask him questions about cannabis health and cannabis science, he's the guy to ask. And then at the end of the show, time for a radical rant. I'm going to talk a little bit about that new study from the RAND Corporation and how it is showing that dispensaries do not lead to crime, and closing them down does lead to crime. All that and more coming up on Normal Show Live. Also want to remind you about our schedule coming up here in the next few days. There will be no Normal Show Live on Friday, as I will be flying to Joplin, Missouri to take part in the Cannabis Revival 2011, sponsored by Joplin Normal. And for more information, check out CannabisRevival.com or Joplin-Normal.org. I'll be speaking there on Saturday, as well as Missouri Normal Coordinator and Normal Board Member Dan Veets. Of course, Kelly Maddie from Joplin Normal will be there. Ryan Denham from Arkansas will be there. We'll be talking to the people from Show Me Cannabis that are trying to get medical marijuana legalized in Missouri. So that'll be on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I catch three flights to make my way to Boise, Idaho for the Idaho Hope Fest. Hope stands for Hemp Offers People Everything. And for more information on that, you can check out idahonormal.org or idahohopefest.com. I'll be a speaker there, as well as our own news editor, Cannabis Carry. Our sponsor, Alternative Medical Choices, Iva Cunningham, will be there speaking as well. Sarah Frank from Moms for Marijuana International will be there, and a whole host of other speakers in Boise, Idaho's first ever Hemp Fest at the Julia Davis Park, taking place Sunday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the park right there in Boise, Idaho, in the shadow of the Capitol, no less. It's going to be a beautiful affair, and I can't wait to see my friends and family that I grew up with there in the great state of Idaho showing up there as well to enjoy the festivities. So check it out, IdahoHopeFest.com, and for more information, check out IdahoNormal.org. They'll have all the details as well. We're back with the Hemp Headlines and Wiz Calico right after this. You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the
sacred smoke. La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Ya no puede caminar.
You're listening to Normal Show Live.
Porque le falta marihuana que fumar.
You chipper.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
What's up, everybody? This is Wiz Calico with your Normal News update. Today, we're going to be covering a story from the RAND Corporation. Many cities and townships in states with medical marijuana that are working towards banning dispensaries often cite public safety as the number one reason to keeping cannabis businesses from opening their doors. But a report from the RAND Corp out this week has taken the wind out of the sails of that argument. A study of the crime near Los Angeles dispensaries, an area that is under threat of seeing a dispensary ban, showed the opposite to be true. The researchers that worked on the report said it was the most rigorous independent examination of its kind and found that the crime actually increased near hundreds of medical marijuana dispensaries after they were required to close last summer by a city ordinance. The researchers compared the 10 days before the city's medical marijuana ordinance took effect, June 7, 2010, with the 10 days following, when many of more than the 400 illegal dispensaries shut down, at least briefly. They found that 59% increase in crime within 3/10 of a mile of a closed dispensary compared to an open one, and a 24% increase within 6/10 of a mile. The researchers did not try to draw conclusions on why crime increased, but offered the hypothesis that dispensaries may heighten security in areas around them because they employ cameras, guards, increase late-night foot traffic, replace illicit street sales, and draw heavier police patrols. Using the often-quoted magnet for crime to explain to the public why the dispensaries should not be allowed, the Los Angeles City's Attorney Office has argued in court proceedings that the number of dispensaries needed to be reduced to deal with the well-documented crime surrounding them. The office also called the report highly suspect and unreliable. The RAND report noticed that the police departments in Denver and Colorado Springs also studied crimes around dispensaries and found no evidence that they attracted crime.
Well, that's just about what you'd expect, and we've seen many reports like this in the past, and we're going to do a little bit more on this in the Radical Rant. We'll talk about that a little bit later, so hang on, and we'll get you more information on that as it's possible.
Alrighty, and this legalization advocate, former governor of New Mexico, Republican presidential hopeful Gary Johnson, will finally get a place at a GOP debate. Gary Johnson has had a busy summer campaigning for a place on the Republican ticket, and to the delight of marijuana legalization advocates, has attended numerous pro-legalization events and spoke to the crowds about the need to end the failed policies of prohibition. Gary Johnson, also keynote speaker at the Normal Conference here in Portland in 2010, will finally get his chance to square off against other Republican hopefuls on Thursday night in the Fox News debate that will be held in Orlando, Florida. He finally won the spot on the televised debate by cracking the 1% threshold in the last five national polls in which he was included. The Fox News poll, CNN, McClatchy Mares, ABC, and Quinnipiac polls all pulled him at around 1%, which was a threshold set by the network hosting the debate. The poll percentage requirement has been the bane of few Republican hopefuls like Johnson because his name isn't often included in many of the polls. This will be Johnson's second debate. He also won the privilege of being included in the first Republican Party presidential debate back on May 5th, when many of the current popular candidates had yet to declare their intentions. Johnson, who leans towards the libertarian edge of Republican politics, does not have the blessing of the Florida Republican Party, who are co-hosting the event with Fox News. In fact, he will not be included as a presidential candidate on the ballot at Saturday's presidential straw poll that the Florida GOP is hosting. Fox News and the GOP party, the Republican Party in Florida, disagree on the rules that allow Johnson to be included. Fox made the 1% rule to cover the last five polls in which candidates were included. The GOP thinks that it should be the last five national polls, whether a candidate was included or not. Fox News has seemed supportive of Johnson's run because he's appeared on the Fox News outlet 18 times in the past year, compared to Romney's 8, Huntsman's 11, and Rick Perry's 5. Johnson said he will use the airtime to push his balanced budget amendment of 2013, sorry, not the balanced budget, but his balanced budget for 2013, and his threat to veto any spending legislation and overhaul the tax code. We will all have to tune in to see if the subject of cannabis law reform comes up, but if it does, you can count on Gary Johnson to make the case for legalization.
Wow, we're going to have a GOP debate where not one but two of the people standing up there on the podium are in support of marijuana legalization and ending the war on drugs. And, you know, I've been saying this for a long time. When they only include Ron Paul in those debates, it's easy to marginalize our point of view and to say, okay, there's the fringe that thinks we ought to legalize. But when it's two guys up there, and one of them is a two-term Republican governor from a Democratic state, it's a lot more difficult to make that fringe argument. I hate to have to say this. I never thought it would come out of my mouth, but thank you, Fox News, for doing the right thing.
All right. South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley has had to backtrack on claims that she made recently that half of those looking for jobs at South Carolina's energy department couldn't pass a drug test, and that half of the remainder couldn't pass their writing test. Governor Haley has been frequently citing those erroneous statistics while pushing for a plan to drug test those seeking unemployment. She had used the statistic to highlight a point that the state could save money for outraged taxpayers by drug testing the jobless before they are eligible for benefits. Turns out the governor had been using bad information. She was given bad information, in fact. On Monday, she was forced to admit that she had zero evidence to back up her claim. She says that weeks ago, she was told that hundreds of job applicants at the Savannah River site, a nuclear reservation owned by the U.S. Energy Department, had failed a drug test. But a spokesperson for the Energy Department, Jim Goosey, had said that out of the workers that were hired in the last few years at the plant, only 1% has failed a drug test. Furthermore, he said that only new hires, never applicants, are required to submit a drug test. Governor Haley told reporters on Monday that she learned a lesson about being careful before she speaks, and said that she assumed that she had been given good information. Her dubious anecdote started to unravel on September 8th when she was asked by Lexington Rotary Club member whether that claim could be substantiated. She was clearly frustrated on Monday when she was unable to document something that she said has helped shape her policy's perspectives on drug testing. Haley herself told AAP that she used the anecdote a million times while promoting drug testing for unemployment. But even though she has promised not to repeat the bad information, she has said that she will still continue to promote drug tests tied to jobless benefits. Her figure of half of the unemployment being able to pass drug tests is far from actual figures. Quest Diagnostics, a national drug testing company, produces an annual report of pre-employment and workplace drug testing. In 2010, less than 2% of pre-employment tests were positive for drugs nationally, according to Quest, and a report released earlier this month. Meanwhile, the data show that 4.5 million urine test samples show that 3.5% of those of the overall workforce tested positive for drugs after they were offered jobs but before being hired. That rate has been below 4% since 2006, and in South Carolina, the overall failure rate was only 6.5%.
Well, we can't have silly facts and logic and reason getting in the way of forming our political opinions. Notice how she was so quick to assume that the anecdote she'd been told was true. Well, because it was a bad thing about drugs, after all. Who would tell lies about drugs in order to keep them prohibited? That just couldn't happen. But I hope you get in the sarcasm, people, because this happens all the time. So many of our political leaders are making these policies on drugs based on reefer madness that they picked up, you know, decades ago, third hand from a friend of a friend. It's time to let science and reason into this debate, into this discussion, and come up with some marijuana and drug policies that actually make sense.
All right. And an effort in Ohio to get medical marijuana initiative on the ballot has hit another wall. The group first had a tough time validating 1,000 signatures to get the process started. Even though they collected 2,143 signatures, only 500 of them were able to meet the validity requirements. They rallied and finally got the signatures that they needed for the next step, which was a legal review, then that they would only have to gather an additional 385,000 signatures to put the issue to the voters of Ohio. But that goal seems just a tad bit farther away today, as Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine says that even though they were able to validate 1,000 signatures, they failed to properly summarize the ballot language. DeWine rejected the 2012 ballot proposal by the Ohio Coalition for Medical Compassion, the group led by activist and Normal member Tanya Davis, was trying to get an initiative on the ballot, and if passed, it would make legal medical marijuana a constitutional amendment. You can go to normalohio.org for updates and to see how you can get involved and help with a very important effort to get medical marijuana to those in need in Ohio.
And I'll get in touch with Tanya Davis out there in Ohio, and I hope to have her on tomorrow's show to discuss what's going on here. But it underscores the importance of reformers to really know the election laws that you're dealing with, the initiative rules, and all of these little tiny technicalities that they want to pull out on you, because they're going to try to find every way they can to stop us from having this discussion with the public. And if it means trying to invalidate a few signatures or saying that you didn't summarize the language properly, they're going to find the way to do it. All right, I have a news story here. Wanted to add here to the end of our broadcast. New York City Mayor Bloomberg now wants to help the blacks and Latinos he's been arresting for a decade. The Village Voice has an amazing piece up on the New York City Mayor Bloomberg. And remember, he's the one who said, "You bet I did, and I enjoyed it," when asked if he smoked marijuana himself. As he's finishing his term, he has this new Young Men's Initiative, they're calling it, $127 million program, which, according to the report, will address some of the depressing statistics found among the Big Apple's young black males. Now, here's some of the statistics from the mayor's own hand-picked committee that took a look at this. In New York City, young men of color are suspended. Young men of color are suspended, designated to special education, arrested, and incarcerated at significantly higher rates than any other group. The barriers to obtain work and housing, because of criminal records, make it extremely difficult to re-enter into society and can limit young men of color to a cycle of instability and illegal employment. Well, gee. What could it be that's leading to all those arrests and incarceration and criminal records of young black men in New York City? As we've reported a number of times, New York City is the marijuana arrest capital of the world, with over 50,000 arrests for possession alone. The Village Voice notes this as well, that in 2010, under Giuliani, there was an average of about 25,000 arrests per year. By Bloomberg's first year, 2008, he was averaging 36,000 arrests. In 2010, it was 50,000 arrests, more than the capacity of Yankee Stadium. And this year, he's on track to have arrested more than 60,000 people for marijuana arrests. Now, New York is a decrim state where it's supposed to be just a ticket and no arrest if you have marijuana in your possession, but the cops there have been trained to ask young black and Latino men, hey, if you got any weed on you, just take it out of your pockets and show us, and we'll go a lot easier on you. Once it's out of their pockets, then it's display of marijuana in a public place. That's a misdemeanor. That's what they get arrested for. That's where they get their criminal records. So too little, too late, Mayor Bloomberg. If you want to look at how we can help young black and Latino men have more jobs in this city and be able to be more employed and have less crime statistics, how about taking a look at ending this disproportionate arrest of young black and Latino men for marijuana. But as you look through this entire 24-page report, you will not find the words drugs, marijuana, or even stop and frisk in the report. This is a terrible example of Bloomberg trying to whitewash his miserable legacy as the greatest jailer of young blacks and Latinos in the world, and we're not fooled.
All right, time for a break. I need one after that news segment. Good Lord.
You did well, but Carrie makes it look easy.
That's what I said. She makes it sound very easy.
We'll be right back with Ivy Wednesday.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man, reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup is coming to Detroit on October 15th and 16th. That's right. The world's premier medical marijuana competition will be in Motown to celebrate the cannabis economy of the Great Lakes State. It's a two-day expo at Burt's Warehouse Theater, showcasing the movers and shakers of the Michigan medical marijuana industry and the merchandise that makes the machine go. There'll be seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, doctors, patients, researchers, growers, dispensary owners, and activists. Plus, High Times' own cultivation editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido will roll into town with the goods on growing great ganja. Be there for an amazing Saturday night VIP party featuring top musical performances and special guests. High Times will award the Medical Cannabis Cup for top indicas, sativas, hybrids, concentrates, and edibles. Entered by Michigan's dispensaries and collectives. Come to Birch Warehouse Theater on October 15th and 16th. Visit MedCanCup.com for all the details. Celebrate cannabis in Michigan. Celebrate the resurgence of Detroit. Be part of the growing cannabis community. Normal Show Live is actually live every weekday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern at live.normal.org.
Hey, you. I saw that. Don't go teasing us all if you're not going to share.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, we made it to the middle of the week, and that means it's Ivy Wednesday time. We've got NorCal Perps on the phone waiting for us in Northern California. How you doing, Kyle? Kyle, do we got you there? Okay, we're not hearing Kyle on the Skype for some reason. Probably something I've done because I've had to rearrange a bunch of things. We'll get that fixed for our next segment. But in the meantime, we're going to play some music from Catch a Fire. I know it's a group that Kaliko knows a little bit about.
Yeah, Catch a Fire. My boys from New Zealand, which obviously we have a lot of international chapters of Normal, right? And they're got a pretty active chapter over there in New Zealand, I've heard. And we know Catch a Fire is one of the biggest bands out of there. They get a lot of play in the islands, you know what I mean? They make their tours and make their rounds, but... they don't get up to Portland, where I'm from, often. They always spend a lot of time in California, Arizona, in the Southwest, as well as tour around the islands. They're an awesome band with great vibes. You can always check them out on the Ivy Island Hour, the last remaining episodes that we have left, Friday at 8 p.m. And,
right on. Hey, I think we've got Kyle back on the Skype now. Go ahead and unmute that channel. Kyle, can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, can you hear me, Russ?
You're back and better than ever, just like you're here in the studio. Tell us about our song for the day.
All right. Well, you know, I was sitting there in the crowd at the Catch a Fire show trying to find another cannabis-related song, and then this song came on and it hit me. You know, this movement's not all about cannabis. It's also about the love.
Yeah.
And, you know, just hearing the song, watching everyone dance and feel the vibe, I decided that this was going to be a great song to play for all the tokers out there.
Right on. Okay, so what song have we got to play for today?
So this is Catch a Fire song, Love Letter.
All right, here we go. Catch a Fire, Love Letter on your Daily Toker Tunes.
One love, baby, one love. copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
Well, once again, we head all the way out to the Albany area by means of Skype telecommunication to join up with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. How you doing, Dr. Mitch? Happy autumn.
Thanks so much. Having a great day.
We have started autumn here, and I know when we start off these interviews, we like to start with the newest studies. I saw a couple come across email, and I was wondering if maybe you had some comments about them.
It's been a big week for the publication of a lot of stuff. I think the one that's most intriguing right now has to do with changes in crime after California's medical marijuana laws. And basically, in areas around dispensaries, when everybody said, "Oh, dispensaries increase crime," what a surprise! As soon as they make them close, crime actually increases in those areas. And you guys mentioned this earlier, I believe. But the bottom line is, I'm taking a close look at these data, and this is no bullshit. Yeah. I thought, oh well, maybe there was a general increase in crime in those areas anyway. That doesn't seem to be the case. And the bottom line, one of my favorite quotes was, banks get robbed more often than dispensaries.
Yeah, taking a look at this in our Radical Rant after this segment as well, and one of the things that stood out was how the cops and the law enforcement spokespeople came out and said, well, there's problems with this data, it seems to be, maybe it's a sampling issue. They're not taking a look at the little crimes like graffiti that don't often get reported, and really, really, you have to trust us, crime does really go down. It's like they can't see the facts in front of their face even when you show it to them.
Sad but true, and those kind of biases are creeping into some of our other studies as well. Something else that came out this week was essentially trying to say that teen marijuana use wrecks brain function, and we've talked about this before, and we don't support marijuana use in young teens. Nevertheless, the study that came out only has a sample of 16, and they used a test called the CANTAB, which actually has 100 little subscales. I'm exaggerating only a little, so I'm sure they were bound to find something because they just did so many statistical tests. And then the things that they did find where the deficits were actually things that you see deficits in folks with ADHD or children of alcoholics. And so they could have been there long before any of these people ever used cannabis. So I feel like there's another one where, in some sense, the blindness and the filters are interpreting the way the data gets reported.
I know, but at least now we're getting these reports. It seems that over at least the past 2 or 3 years, I mean, we've been talking for almost that long, that we're seeing more and more reporting on these positive stories than we had seen in the past. Are there more studies that have come out this week that we should report on, or have you seen that to be the case?
I feel like these two in particular are a big deal, but it's getting harder and harder to publish the null results when you're looking at cannabis and neuropsych functioning. So if you are a researcher and you're looking at these things and you don't find a difference, it's actually pretty tough to get that through a journal's editorial board.
Yeah, it reminds me of the, I'm reminded of the study we talked about, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, about obesity and marijuana. And they found that frequent marijuana consumers were less likely to be obese. And the thing that had prompted this study was researchers saying, well, you know, for sure marijuana must make people fat. Let's take a look at that. And finding just the opposite, or like Tashkin found just the opposite, what he had, you know, predicted he would find. How much of reefer madness is actually leading to positive studies for us?
Slowly but surely, I think these are going to creep through. The first stuff on cannabis and Alzheimer's related symptoms, at least in rats, ended up coming out that way. Gary Wang's lab basically, you know, knew that THC was a strong antioxidant and used an analog of that called Wynn and found out, sure enough, that these little baby rats are getting better, and some of the old rats get even more improvement after exposure to that cannabinoid. So, you know, obviously we've got a chance to make this happen.
Yeah, we need to get more of this information out. We're speaking with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, one of America's leading researchers on marijuana and other drugs and alcohol, and we're taking your live questions as well. You can call us. You can get a hold of us via Skype, or you can Skype at Radical Russ, and you can call us with regular old telephone, 971-533-7111 if you have questions for Dr. Mitch Earlywine. We've got one here coming in from one of our Ustream viewers that asks about powdery mildew. We've talked about that before in flowers, and they want to know if you have bud with powdery mildew, would that transfer over for extractions like doing the butane hash oil or other preparations of cannabis?
Sad but true, the contaminants associated with mildew aren't always killed by the standard extraction techniques. I realize I'm being extra conservative compared to some of my colleagues on this, but mildew is really mildew, and unfortunately it's not an easy thing to kill. If you're concerned and you can't actually see any and you just want to decarboxylate anyway, put the cannabis in the oven at 200 and turn it off and just let that THC become basically a decarboxylated version of THC, that's completely fine, and it would certainly help against small amounts that you couldn't see. But if you can actually see mildew on the plant, I'm afraid it's time to let it go and just move on to the next.
All right, and we encourage you to get your questions in here via our chat room. Wiz Calico is bringing them up for us, and we got one from Quint here who wants to know, what is the latest on marijuana for neuropathic pain?
In fact, Greg Carter, who we all know and love from the normal conferences, was just on a conference call with me and some other folks, really ranting and raving about this. These data are really some of the most compelling that are out there right now for medical cannabis. So I really do think that cannabis and neuropathic pain, it's really a decent treatment. The key here is adjusting dosage, and it may be that inverted U we've talked about before, where a little bit isn't quite going to do the job, and too much actually may increase symptoms. But if you find that happy medium, that sort of Goldilocks amount, you really seem to see a whole lot of improvement in neuropathic pain with cannabinoids.
Yeah, it seems pretty clear now after seeing so many of these studies coming through, and we're just glad to see more of that data and more information. And you know, Dr. Carter and those people are definitely serious researchers, serious scientists here that we have to you know, believe what they're saying here. Let's go to another question. Do you have a question, Greg, that you wanted to bring in regarding we've just seen most recently studies with respect to Crohn's disease and medical marijuana being a great treatment for that. Any new comments on that, Dr. Mitch?
Generally, almost all the irritable bowel type things, including Crohn's, are responding well. but I don't want folks to get lulled into a false sense of security, because it definitely helps alleviate some of the symptoms, but it really isn't getting at the root causes of some of these. So by all means, include that as part of your package, but you really have to watch diet. There's some compelling evidence for some help with fish oil and things like that. And then some of the pharmaceutical meds are actually very good. And as much as I badmouth the pharmaceutical industry on this show, these are some that have some pretty compelling data. And I'm glad to see that we're making progress in this area.
Excellent, excellent. And we've, you know, just spoken anecdotally about this with Greg here, and your experience of using cannabis with Crohn's disease.
Yeah, I definitely find sativas are the way forward with Crohn's disease. There's a lot of nausea and appetite loss, and that's perfect. The sativas are perfect for picking that up and giving you the energy to get through the day. There's a lot of fatigue associated with Crohn's disease as well, so that helps. I found the CBD strains work in the same kind of way as the like prednisolone, the steroids, but you don't get the same sort of side effects with the CBD heavy strains. You don't get the mood swings, not compared to THC, but compared to the steroids. You don't get the mood swings and the angst and just emotional problems that you tend to get as a side effect with the steroids.
And that brings something up, Dr. Mitch, we've talked about before, but the amount and the severity of side effects that we'll accept for pills that seem to be unacceptable for cannabis. Can you comment on that?
I think prednisone is a prime example. This is a drug that I've taken myself because of an allergic reaction to valerian root, of all things, and I was a complete lunatic. It's unearthly odd how this impact can be. There's all this wild puffing up of people's faces, and some folks are on this for months, whereas these high CBD strains seem to be comparable in their effectiveness for most of these. And what a surprise, you're not a screaming lunatic. And I really feel like that's the wave of the future for these.
Yeah, you know, it should be, like I say many times, should be the medicine of first resort in many cases instead of the medicine of last resort. And certainly nobody should ever be locked up for using it. Let's go back to our questions from the chat room. You can send your question in via our Ustream chat. I've got it up on the screen, able to see it now. We have a general question here from Randy Pinball, wants to know, how can the dose of cannabis be controlled when the natural cannabis plant is used?
The ideal thing to do is, if you're using an extract, by all means start small and wait a long time for it to give it its full opportunity to have its impact, and then try a larger measured dose on a subsequent trial. With inhalation, the beauty is that your impact is much more rapid. So if you're hitting the vaporizer, you'll usually know within 15, 30 minutes how much impact it's going to have. And that's, of course, the advantage that this approach has over, say, Marinol or any of those pill approaches. And I feel like the key is a little dabble do ya, and make sure you give it enough time to actually have its impact. And then experimenting like this is what physicians do with every medication. This is not at all out of the ordinary or strange. And we have a substance that doesn't have a toxic dose, so by all means, there's a big advantage compared to alternatives.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we have a question from our own Yellowwana Cake, who wants to know if you could discuss how different ingestion methods can affect symptoms like neuropathic pain versus arthritis pain. And I guess what we're saying here is, you know, does it make a difference for your pain relief whether you're smoking, vaporizing, eating an edible, or using a tincture, etc.?
As it turns out, anecdotally, yes. But, of course, there's nothing published on this. Ideally, if you've got a chronic condition, if you can use an edible or a tincture at a regular rate, at a regular dosage, and essentially have an appropriate amount of cannabinoids floating in your system all the time, you're going to have essentially the best treatment of your symptoms. So folks who are using cannabis for seizures really seem to benefit from this. They don't report any subjective high at all. Some of the folks who still use for glaucoma, even though it's not necessarily first line of defense, make these same claims. So essentially every night they take a small amount of a tincture, and that lasts them through to the next day. They have a little bit again in the morning, and they're never really giggly or anything like that, but they're definitely free of the symptoms.
All right.
Well, generally, the orally administered ones last longer, and that's because of, you know, the way THC is broken down by the liver in that digestion. Whereas if you need a rapid relief. So if you're experiencing a giant wave of nausea, the vaporizer can be your best friend and run to that and get to it right away rather than waiting for an orally administered dose to take the time to have its impact.
Well, it'll be nice when we have the published studies on this rather than relying on anecdotal information. But what you're saying goes along with all the patients I've ever talked to. Sitting here with Cure, he says the same thing. We've got time for one more question. Before we go, I want to remind folks that if you didn't get your question in this time, join us next Wednesday on our Cannabis Science segment. Or you can send your email directly to Dr. Mitch by emailing 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. Final question here from Hempster 420. Do we have any new info on cannabis use for treating Asperger's syndrome?
As it turns out, we only have anecdotes on this, and there's a lot of variation in reactions, but small orally administered doses have been a big help for a subset of folks who really swear by it. It may not be your first choice, but it's definitely something that you should include in your options.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Mitch, for joining us here Wednesdays for Cannabis Science. Your information's invaluable, and I know people love listening to you talk.
Always a pleasure.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have a radical rant. We'll talk a little bit more about that RAND Corporation study on crime and dispensaries. We're right back after this.
Webb Hubbard. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind, liberate your mind.
Hey, this is Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger Seeds, TGAGenetics.com, and you're listening to The Normal Network.
USVI Namalgo, broke down barrier, herb is medicine to broke down barrier, boost the economy and broke down barrier, it's helping other states, broke down barrier, cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier, join and speak your voice, broke down barrier, we gonna change the law, broke down barrier, we got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up USVI Normal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a nonprofit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
All right, the big story going around all of the drug reform blogs today is about that new RAND Corporation study that took a look at the effect of recent closures of numerous Los Angeles medical marijuana dispensaries. The opponents of these dispensaries, most notably law enforcement, just can't believe what they're hearing because they've long argued that marijuana dispensaries increase crime in their neighborhoods. However, the data that were just unearthed by the RAND Corporation today shows the opposite. This is from the Los Angeles Times. In a study of crime near Los Angeles dispensaries, which the investigators call the most rigorous independent examination of its kind, the Santa Monica-based think tank found that crime actually increased near the hundreds of pot shops after they were required to close last summer. Now, police have been desperate to show the public that the acceptance of marijuana commerce leads to greater crime and danger. I did a little research on this morning, and in Los Angeles, this pot shops cause crime mantra was part of a PowerPoint presentation entitled Summit on the Impact of California's Medical Marijuana Laws Dispensary-Related Crime, which was delivered by a commander, Michael Regan, to over 400 law enforcement officers attending in this seminar in July of 2009. I've got a download up on our blog at stash.normal.org if you want to see the entire 64-slide PowerPoint presentation. But here's some of the things that they were telling the other law enforcement officers. It's worse than combining a liquor store and a casino. Lots of cash, lots of guns. A California Highway Patrol officer was paralyzed by a marijuana-impaired driver. A group of suspects entered the dispensary, tied everyone up, and robbed the place of about $50,000. A masked gunman fired 4 shots into a dispensary worker's car as he pulled into the parking lot. One of the club's customers was ambushed, robbed for his marijuana, and killed at a nearby gas station. And crimes related to dispensaries may not be associated or recorded as such. Yet even as these individual anecdotes were sensationalized in this 2009 presentation, just 2 months earlier, the Los Angeles crime statistics were reported by the Los Angeles Times this way. Crime is dramatically down. And here in Los Angeles, the drop is particularly stunning. According to the Los Angeles Police Department, compared with the same period in 2008, homicide is down 32%, rape 12%, robbery 3%, burglary 6%, and grand theft auto a shocking 18%. Now, similar crime magnet arguments have been floating around California in their police departments for years. Even happened up in Northern California, where you'd think they're all supportive, you know, Oakland and Oaksterdam. But this was from 2010. A Captain Denise Schmidt wrote a letter to the San Francisco Planning Department. Her argument was, quote, dispensaries have proven an attractive target for violent criminals due to the large amount of marijuana and cash maintained on site. Dispensaries have experienced takeover robberies, burglaries, shootings, stabbings, fights, and homicides. Additionally, criminals target the pedestrian traffic in and around dispensaries for strong-arm robberies, knowing that the potential for these victims to be carrying either cash and or marijuana is highly likely. That was the police captain saying this. But when the police commissioner, Petra De Jesus, asked the San Francisco Police Department to back up those claims with data from the state's CompStat system that tracks crime by neighborhood, well, suddenly the San Francisco Police Chief George Gascon wasn't so eager to mine that data. Now, looking at another police chief, LA Police Chief Charlie Beck, he wasn't so reluctant as Chief Gascon to admit that dispensaries aren't crime magnets. Back in January of 2010, Beck told the Los Angeles Daily News, quote, banks are more likely to get robbed than medical marijuana dispensaries, Beck said at a recent meeting with editors and reporters of the Los Angeles Daily News. Opponents of the pot clinics complain that they attract a host of criminal activity to the neighborhoods, including robberies. But a report that Beck recently had the department generate, looking at citywide robberies in 2009, found that simply wasn't the case. Quote, I have tried to verify that because that, of course, is the mantra, said Beck. It doesn't really bear out, end quote. In 2009, the LAPD received reports of 71 robberies at the more than 350 banks in the city, compared to 47 robberies at medical marijuana facilities, which number at least 800, the chief said in a follow-up interview in which he provided statistics from the report. So the fact is that dispensaries revitalize neighborhoods. They install security cameras. They increase foot traffic, provide jobs, inject revenue into the local economy. All things that even an undergraduate social scientist can tell you will help reduce crime. They've even done similar studies of this, of dispensary operations in Denver and Colorado Springs, and also have found no correlation between dispensary operations and crime. But to the police, the sales and use of the marijuana itself is something they consider criminal. In defending this pot shops or crime magnets boogeyman, the cops, with a straight face even, blame the increase in crime upon closing a dispensary on, quote, this from the LA Times story, infighting among collective members, increased traffic for pot fire sales, and customers disgruntled to find their dispensary closed, end quote. Or in other words, as the Rand Report points out, when the cops shut down a dispensary, crime goes up. Let's go to one of the L.A. County spokespeople. Steve Whitmore, a spokesman for the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, strenuously disagreed with the report's conclusions. Quote, every time we shut down a dispensary, the crime and disorder decrease, he said. The report looks at such crimes as thefts and assaults, but not disorder, such as loitering, double parking, loud noises, and graffiti that sparked anger among neighborhood activists. Whitmore said those complaints are often what causes the department to act. Oh, okay. So you shut down a dispensary and there's allegedly less graffiti and double parking, but there's an actual increase, 60% increase in thefts and assault in a 3-block radius? It's not a very good trade, if you ask me. And to think that the cops are only responding to graffiti and double parking and things that neighborhoods are complaining about and not responding to actual crime reports, that's a little scary. And in fact, a lot of these nuisances that these neighbors are complaining about are exaggerated reports because these neighbors are like the cops. They cling to prohibition of marijuana and the demonization of those who consume it, and they'll jump on any excuse to send the cops in. This is a quote from Michael Larson, the president of a neighborhood council reporting on this, who said, quote, our main concern is the crime of illegal dispensaries illegally selling marijuana. That's the crime we're concerned about. Yeah, not the double parking, not the loitering, not any of those other things. They just don't like the marijuana users. The simple truth is that in California and Colorado and all the other medical marijuana states, we have about 1.5 million consumers protected from prosecution for the possession of cannabis. Now, absent a visit from the weed fairy, the only way these consumers can get a supplier for their state sanctioned medicine is to go out to the city park or a public parking lot or a rundown apartment to deal with a drug dealer who doesn't check IDs, doesn't care about doctor's recommendations, and has no quality or safety standards for cannabis medicine. Or we could provide people a well-regulated, well-lit, adults-only, secure, tax-paying facility that creates jobs, revitalizes neighborhoods, and reduces crime. Now, what do you think would be better for your neighborhood, for your state? To allow the medical marijuana patients to require, to force the medical marijuana patients to have to go to the black market, or to provide for them a legal regulated market, just like we do with all other prescription medications, just like we do with alcohol and tobacco? People are going to continue to use medical marijuana. The genie is out of the bottle. The truth is known. People know it is a superior medication to many of the pharmaceuticals that we are routinely advertised on our televisions. It's not going anywhere. So the choice is not whether or not there will be dispensaries. The choice is whether dispensaries will be regulated or whether they'll be out there in the background causing problems. All right, we got to call it a day here. Let's, if you just double-click Herbal Nation there, and click play. There you go, right there, right? You had it. Nope, one up. There you go. Click play, and we'll just get out of there. Wiz Calico running the Pirate's Nest there, and things going a little awry, but everything's okay. We're going to call it a day. Thanks for joining us here on Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. Stay tuned for Toker Talk Radio right here on our live Ustream channel. And for those of you listening on the podcast, thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use, including our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment and hopefully a visit from Tanya Davis from Ohio on that Ohio medical marijuana controversy. Again, thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ for Wiz Calico and Cannabis Cure UK. We'll see you tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. We love it.
the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Dang it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.